Well, we move from John Willems to 1 John 3:16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and we do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us.
I don't know whether I should thank Peter for his kind words to me or if I should kick him because he set up the expectations so high. I spent about 50 hours this week trying to rewrite this whole thing so it would meet up to the expectations, and I just gave up because it still didn't. So I'll give you the original. Actually, that was not true. I didn't. So the word came out from the High Council of Mennonite Church USA, along with the Journey Forward Sunday School classes that were being held across the country, to please share a story or way that you or your congregation have seen the transformation of the Holy Spirit at work in your congregation. And so Twyla shared the following. A group of nine from AMC went on a Global Immersions Peace Tour in Tijuana, San Diego. We were challenged to use this peace model in our own communities, whatever the issue, not just immigration. As a result, we have been educating, sharing with the rest of the congregation, and it has led to a renewed interest in reaching out to the marginalized in our community. We developed a Sunday school class called Voices of the Marginalized and had people from our congregation and the community share their stories of poverty, addiction, and recovery, mental health, LGBTQ, abuse in the church, living with disabilities, and immigration. It was very powerful to hear from those in our midst. We continue dialogue on becoming a sanctuary church, or as well as working on a statement of inclusion. And we won! We were selected to present at the convention in Kansas City with the following instruction from the High Council. Your story will be told in connection to our renewed commitments focusing on commitment number 3. Experience transformation. The Holy Spirit dwells in and among us, transforming us to reflect God's love through worship. The Spirit gathers the body of Christ where our diversity reveals God's beauty. The Spirit empowers our communities to embody the grace, joy, and peace of the gospel. Lots of words there. So Twyla would present. She'd go to Kansas City, present for our church, but then Twyla went to Mississippi with the youth. And since I was going as a delegate and also had firsthand knowledge of the global immersion trip, the job fell to me. When first asked, I truly thought that this was already written out, that I was just presenting something that Twyla had written for me, but I soon found that I alone got to be the one to decide how it was done. So, this is how it was done. Mario is 71 years old. In 1957, 12-year-old Mario came to the United States as a legal resident. 8 years later, he was drafted to serve in the U.S. Army in Vietnam. Mario and others like him felt it was their duty to serve, and saying no to the draft could result in arrest. When you join the Army, you take an oath which is similar to that which is taken when you become a citizen. Many young men believed they had become citizens, and no one told them otherwise. Life is not always easy for those who have returned home after serving in a conflict. Normally, those who struggle can get help. But when a non-citizen is arrested for drug and alcohol abuse, they are sent back from where they came. And so, Mario, who came to the United States as a 12-year-old, was deported to Mexico after living in the U.S. for 48 years. Mario was left on the streets of Tijuana, homeless, struggling with health issues that his veterans benefits cover, but which he cannot access. Mario is now living in a house at the House for Deported Veterans in Tijuana, Mexico, where he has a bed to sleep and receives assistance. Mario's is one of many stories that a group of nine from Albany Mennonite Church in Albany, Oregon, listened to on a trip we took in October 2016. Doesn't seem that long ago. To the border area of San Diego and Tijuana with an organization called the Global Immersion Project. A couple of years before, our then pastor Megan Good had the opportunity to go with Global Immersion to Israel, Palestine. She found the trip very meaningful and thought it would be a great opportunity for a group from our church. We strolled around parts of Tijuana just seeing. We visited the wall. We stayed the night and spoke to migrants at a temporary shelter, listened to the stories of Haitians journeying from Haiti after the earthquake to Brazil, then to the United States. This, folks, is what two of the invading horde look like. We listen to those who advocate for migrants, and we listen to a Border Patrol agent. Well, it's all well and good to go to the border, to go to the Middle East, but that's only the beginning. The important part is bringing it back home. What did we learn that we could use back home in our community of Albany, Oregon? On their website, the Global Immersion Project states that it is training people of faith to engage our divided world in restorative ways and begins with the question, what would the world look like if the church took seriously our call to be peacemakers? Global Immersion teaches four practices. See, everyday peacemakers see the humanity, dignity, and image of God in everyone. We become people who choose to see things that make us uncomfortable. What we see begins to change us and produce compassion in us. Immerse. Everyday peacemakers move toward conflict with tools to heal rather than to win. We cannot contend until we have spent significant time immersing ourselves in the role of learners rather than heroes. Immersion requires us to linger, to present day in and day out, and listen longer than feels comfortable. Immersion requires that we intentionally displace ourselves so that we have the eyes to see the people and places we have been taught not to see. Contend. Everyday peacemakers contend not by getting even, but getting creative in love. Our call to justice is fleshed out in tangible, costly, and creative ways. We discover that contending leads us to humanize those who we often view as less than human. And finally, restore. Everyday peacemakers share tables with former enemies and celebrate the big and small ways God is restoring our broken world. Restoration springs to life when we leverage and lay down our power and privilege so others may flourish. At Albany Mennonite, we have had three classes during our adult education time that have challenged us in these four practices. The first was Voices of the Marginalized, where we listened to voices from our congregation and the community sharing their stories of poverty, addiction and recovery, mental health. And I knew that would happen no matter how many times I looked at that the pages were going to get mixed up somehow, because they were mixed up earlier. So this is where we wing it just a little bit. We learned, and it was powerful hearing from the stories of those in our congregation and those from our community around us. The next, it's got to be here, you know. But no, I looked through it just before I came to church to see that all my pages were in order, and they were all in order, and now there's one missing. But that's okay, it's not there. The next was a class called Journey Forward. It was a class where we looked at some of the work of the church at that time. They had been working through a project called Journey Forward, and we listened to stories again of those in our congregation. And then finally, a week before I presented this, was the last Sunday of our class in Mending the Divide. And Mending the Divide was once again going through this classes of learning about what the Global Immersion Project was about, going a little deeper into the seeing, contending, immersing, and restoring. During that time, we were encouraged to do little projects, to do little goals. We were to listen to someone or sit down and talk to somebody that we might feel a little uncomfortable sitting down and talking to. We were invited to maybe learn a new language, walk around the neighborhood, or ride on the city bus, which in our town is not convenient or something nice church folks do, unless you want to see a different side of our community. Thank you, John. Albany Mennonite Church, right there. Wait, that's not what I was expecting. Ah, that's better. Wait, that's just a building that sits along Interstate 5 in the mid-Willamette Valley. This is more like it. Being church together can be a little messy at times, but we manage. At Albany Mennonite Church, we often beat ourselves up for not having a specific church-wide ministry to our community. We're that church that has the soup kitchen, or we're that church with the after-school program for local kids. You get the idea, but there's no question our church has a ministry in our community. The Spirit is moving and pushing us out of our nest. We invited a group called Mid-Valley Gleaners who recently had to move out of the location they were using. We offered them space to store and distribute food. This involved building new cabinets elsewhere to store our stuff and upgrading the electricity to run several of their refrigerators. I've noticed the linoleum at the end of the building they come in and out of is getting dirty and showing wear. This makes me very happy. Nate volunteers at the local homeless shelter. Gary, Brenda, and Marilyn help serve at a community dinner. Larry eats with and shares stories with those at that community dinner. Perhaps that's enough, but he also engages with the homeless community in other ways and works on issues surrounding health care and many other things. Kathleen volunteers at the local hospice and reads with kids at a local school. Carolyn travels bringing sister care to sisters in all corners of the world. Harley, don't tell me. This is amazing. I don't know how this happened. But Harley, he likes to talk to people. He likes to get to know them and oftentimes offers assistance if needed. Who's next? There's always a bed, couch, and floor. There's this part about Harley right there. There's always a bed, couch, or floor at Marcy and Dave's house. Many teens in the community besides her own call her mom. And if she's not inviting others into her home, you might find her delivering water to the homeless on a hot day in the park. The quilters are always busy making quilts to raise money for MCC and to offer comfort for those who need comfort. John faithfully takes church mail to those at the nursing home who can no longer come on Sunday mornings. He sits and talks with them and reminds the rest of us not to forget them. Jill, Shanda, and others go to their jobs every day working with vulnerable students and others in our community. Christine coordinates and offers clothing, food, and other necessary supplies to those who need. Christine was introduced to Albany Mennonite when Rob and the youth built a shed on her property to store all that stuff. There were willing hands in our church that worked hard at selling a house the church owned and no longer needed to Jackson Youth Services. It now is a home and transition for young adult men in our community. Trust me, if I wasn't confined to 10 minutes or 11 minutes, I could go on and on. If there's a need in the church, someone will provide. Food, comfort, mechanic skills, money. I know that as part of Albany Mennonite, someone is always there if I need them. God's story began a long time ago. God's story continues today, and we are a part of that story. In that story, Albany Mennonite has experienced transformation, is experiencing transformation, and will continue experiencing that transformation into the future. The Holy Spirit dwells in and among us and transforms us to reflect God's love. A few years ago, a wise woman at Albany Mennonite left us with these words: "In Christ's name and power, pick up your mat and walk. If you do that, you will be blessed and the world will be blessed." God offered a crazy, world-offending gift called the Holy Spirit, who is always pushing us about, disrupting the status quo and saying, "However great lying by the pool is, I've got somewhere else for you to walk. Get up, my friends, and walk with him." That was my presentation to those assembled in Kansas City for the MCUSA convention this past July. And now, since lunch is not ready, part two. Ah, you thought 10 minutes was going to be your sermon. The naming of my message. The email came on Wednesday from our pastor. "Have you communicated your theme and possibly song ideas to Chris and Carolyn already? May I assume that you have also taken care of the verse and music for the time of preparation? Do you already have a message title and scripture reading chosen? Do you want to do the benediction?" "Oh yeah, I do this every week in some capacity or another, but this was a little different being up here, so it was totally off my radar screen that I had to do something besides stand up and talk." There are many reasons a church would not want me to be their pastor. Too many to count. But one is that I would spend hours picking my sermon title every week instead of doing important pastor things. I overthink things and I want them to be just right. Sermon title. A song came into my head. The words from a 19th century mining union rule book, which Pete Seeger added an old Irish tune. It's a good labor movement union song. It goes like this: "Step by step, the longest march can be won, many stepstones can form an arch, singly none, and by union what we will can be accomplished still. Drops of water turn a mill, singly none." I liked the idea that many small things can make a big thing. Many people doing small acts of loving service add up to a great big act of service. So my sermon title could be "Step by Step" or "Drops of Water Turn a Mill." But something didn't feel right. Singly none. Singling none doesn't accomplish anything until enough others join in. Well, that's probably true if you need to bring down the big boss or change things like civil rights laws, but... And then there's also, well, I'm going to skip this next part. If you know about the 100th monkey effect, it's also a similar idea, but lunch will be ready before I know it. But a small act of kindness done by one person does make a difference. It may only make a difference to one individual, but to that person it may be as big as life or death. Or it might be as simple as, "That made me feel better today." Everything each of you do is important all by itself and doesn't matter and doesn't need to be added to everyone else's drops to matter. Jesus stopped and healed the individual, stopped and asked, "Who touched me?" Sat and talked with the woman at the well. He wasn't wasting his time until enough others joined in. Jesus made a difference to individuals, and our call is to follow him. There's plenty of scripture that teaches us about loving each other, including much of 1 John, a portion of which was read today. Children, you show love by truly helping them. You show love to others by truly helping them, and not merely by talking about it. God wants us to have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love each other. This is also what Jesus taught us to do. If we obey God's commandments, and when I hear that, I'm thinking of the greatest commandment that always comes to mind. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. We will stay one in our hearts with him, and he will stay one with us. The spirit that he has given us is proof that we are one with him. So I still don't have a sermon title. Perhaps some quotes attributed to Mother Teresa would help. These are small things, very small, but they will make your love for God more concrete. Give some a smile, visit someone for a short time, Make a fire for someone who is cold. Read something to someone. Something small, very small, may in fact be our love of God in action. Now I was on the right track. I thought I remembered something that Henry Nouwen had said that was similar, and in short order I found a website with meditations by Henry Nouwen. Not exactly what I was thinking of, but it works. Small steps of love. How can we choose love when we have experienced so little of it? We choose love by taking small steps of love every time there is an opportunity. A smile, a handshake, a word of encouragement, a phone call, a card, an embrace, a kind greeting, a gesture of support, a moment of attention, a helping hand, a present, a financial contribution, a visit. All these are little steps toward love. Each step is like a candle burning in the night. It does not take the darkness away, but it guides us through the darkness. When we look back after many small steps of love, we discover that we have made a long and beautiful journey. In the coming months here at Albany Mennonite, we will be taking time listening to God and prayerfully considering our direction as a small body of believers in Albany, Oregon. I don't know where this will take us or lead us, but in case anyone thinks that the only possibility is the next big thing, remember, we already do a big thing, a big small thing. We already take small steps of love. Let's nurture and encourage each other as we continue this long and beautiful journey.